You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 89. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the fully caffeinated but not fully dressed John Brownstone.
That's right.
Damn straight.
Yeah.
Naked, furry chest hanging out and all. Yeah. Oh yeah, so sexy. Just want to run my fingers through it. Oh, we're doing a show. I should probably do the show. Okay, never mind.
Let's do the show first.
I'll run my...
That's later.
Oh yeah, I'll run my whatever over your whatever later and we'll call it a good time. Okay. Yeah. Today, though, we're talking about insecurities, how they affect your DS relationships, and how to deal with them when they do. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on iTunes to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter, at LovingBDSM, or us, everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. If you find me, you'll find Daddy.
You're there and
if
everywhere.
You find John Brownstone, you'll find me.
Her.
We're connected. We're good. Follow us. Talk to us. We love it.
Yeah.
I don't sound enthusiastic, but I am.
Yes, you are. I know.
Oh, huh.
Well,
That's weird.
We're coming off a busy couple days.
We are. We'll talk about that later. Okay. We're going to actually talk about the show now.
Yeah.
We're going to pretend we know what we're doing.
Go for it.
Somewhere out there is some new person going, who the fuck are these crazy people? We're so sorry. Okay. Now, this week's episode is brought to you by, officially I would like one, drum roll please. Thank you. The Loving BDSM community and website.
Woo!
I know. So yes, if you are new here, we're not just a podcast. We're so much more than a podcast. We're a website, we're a community, and we want everybody to join our community. So we offer three levels. For the community, mm-hmm. You go to lovingbdsm.net. All the information is there. There will be a link in the show notes, so don't worry about that. So the first level, and so far the most popular level, is the free level. And at the free level, you get access to the forums, to talk to people, to make an account, to join any groups. Right now, the only group mm-hmm. is Kinky Book Club, but I'm sure there will be more groups that start forming over time. So you can do that. And y'all, if you are new, this is not a dating site. We hope you meet somebody, but if you are the I'll send a dick pic, issue an order, beg to submit to you type, this is not your space.
No.
We want this to be a safe place for people to be part of an online community of fellow kinksters.
Right.
It's not a meat market.
No.
If, however, you join the community, you meet somebody, you start having good conversation, it develops into something more in some sort of natural progression. We would like an invite to the wedding. If we manage to make that happen for anybody, I want a front row seat. Though I probably shouldn't demand that.
No, you wouldn't do well with that. But
no, I wouldn't. But still, I mean, yeah, if you meet somebody and have a connection, great. We hope we can be the catalyst for that. But no, this is not FetLife. So, free gets you access to talk to people, meet people, ask questions, answer questions. You really do know more than you think you do. Even if it's just a, hey, I did this, fucked it up, don't do it like I did it. That is still a lesson to be learned. The next level up we call Kinky and Curious. It is $4.99 a month. And at that level, you get all the stuff you get at the free level. Plus, you get access to a special, I did it as a forum because I couldn't think of another way, a special forum where we post each month a new kinky and hopefully educational video.
Mm-hmm.
We've done impact play, floggers, canes, spankings. We've done sensation play. I think we're kind of still in the middle of sensation play. I let myself be tickled on camera because I'm a masochist because I don't like being tickled, but I did it.
People get to see me on camera?
Yes, people get to see you on camera. And in some of those videos, you're wearing clothes, and in some of them, you are half-dressed. I'm always half-dressed, and my boobs come out from time to time.
Yeah.
And sometimes I wear a thong, and you get to see, ass cheeks.
Yep.
It's not as great as you might think it is, but some people really like it.
Don't let her fool you.
So there's that for $4.99, and then the highest level, kinky fuckery, I called it, because of course I did, $7.99 a month. And at that level, you get everything else you get at the other levels, plus access to our online live-streamed munches each month. First one is July 1st. And then we're going to start probably later in the month online dom meetings and sub-meetings, one meeting for each. And if you are a switch, go to the meeting that you're feeling that moment.
Right.
It doesn't matter to us.
Go to both.
Go to both, and we don't care. So there is that. So, yes, lovingbdsm.net. Go check it out. Go join if you haven't. If you are a member, you're a free member and you want to upgrade, or you're a $4.99 and you want to upgrade to a $7.99, When you log into your account and you're in where your stuff is for the community, scroll down, look to the right. There's a place to upgrade your account. I added that a couple weeks ago. Finally. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, so there's that. I'm done talking about that.
Okay.
Quick announcements, because I just said it. The first Munch is July 1st. 2 p.m. Eastern, because that works for us.
Yeah.
It'll be live streamed. If you can go, great. There'll be a live chat feature. You can ask your questions. If that is not a good time for you, please do not panic. We will have it on replay.
Yes.
So if you know you can't go on Saturday, July 1st at 2 p.m. Eastern, assuming you're hearing my voice prior to that, you can email us questions. We'll try to answer
right.
them. Okay.
And I'm sure we'll put something up on the website.
Oh, yeah. I probably should do that.
Yeah.
Well, I do it in the community. If you mm-hmm. are a community member, yes.
Right.
But...
Okay.
Yeah, I've kept things quiet. This is our first one. I don't want to blast it out to, like, people we don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. I got a plan.
All right.
The community knows. You have to be logged into the community to know, but the community knows.
All right.
So that's coming. And then the next thing is, also on July 1st, Kinky Book Club starts. We're reading the Loving Dominant.
Yeah.
I will start popping questions into that group probably sometime on July 1st.
I got a blow while I was driving yesterday.
I know, because I'm like, I say that. And he said it all before me.
Yeah.
Clearly. But I'm like, I say that too. Yay, I know something. It was a lot of validation going on.
Yes, there was.
So anyway, all of that, that is the thing. If all of this is confusing as fuck, because I'm kind of talking a little fast today, lovingbdsm.net. And or the show notes page. We'll have everything.
Yeah.
Just click and read and discover and learn and come join us. We're fun.
Hang out.
This is how we are. And we're going to do it on live stream through a private YouTube link. And won't that be fun? Okay. So, the show. This show's been, in some ways, on our list for a while, but not coalesced under the topic of insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is people will have a specific question. That's part of the question that will be specific to them, of course, but the underlying theme is an insecurity about, and then fill in the blank, and they'll say, could you do a show on being jealous? Could you do a show on thinking you're ugly? Could you do a show on, and we probably could do individual shows on all of those things.
Right.
But I got sort of bombarded with questions that were different types of insecurities. But I realized my answer to all of them was kind of similar because that was all dealing with insecurities. So then I figured, oh, let's just do one show about insecurities in general. And over time, I'm sure we'll do shows on specific things.
Go off on another tangent.
Yeah, of one of many. So today, it's about generalized insecurities. So part of that has to be because everybody has their own individual unique thing that you're insecure about. I know people who are insecure about how their toes look, okay? I cannot do a 45-minute show on insecurity of your toes. But I am insecure about my stomach. I hate anybody seeing my stomach. So that is one individual unique insecurity I have. So I thought we would talk about insecurities in general.
Okay.
And then what happens, how it can fuck up your DS relationship, or fuck things up enough you don't even get to start the DS relationship.
Ooh.
I know, and then hopefully we'll end with, hey, here are some ways and methods we have experienced, and maybe they'll work for you.
Yeah.
Because there is no one answer, one solution fixes everything.
No.
There is no quick and easy answer.
No, definitely not.
Anybody here waiting for me to go, okay, step one, do this, step two, do that, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
You're going to be disappointed.
I make magic wands in the shop, but they won't fix that.
They don't actually do magic.
No.
They do hurt on boobs when they
are
tested.
Yes, they do.
He has sold magic wands to the vanilla public that have touched my boobs first. Before vanilla hands picked them up and said, I must own this, they have whacked me on the tits. So I get to know that.
Pervertible, sweetie.
I know. In reverse.
Yeah.
We perverted them and then we vanillaized them. Is that
something like that.
Something like that. Hey, you made money off of them. I don't care. Speaking of making money, we're going to talk about paddles. That'll be in the bonus section. Okay.
Yeah.
So, insecurities. Mm-hmm. I'll start with submissive insecurities. And
okay.
I clearly am not going to list them all, but I will definitely list some of the most common ones I hear about.
Right.
Okay. So, Probably the biggest, fattest, ugliest insecurity I hear about is how they think they are big and fat and ugly, and nobody will ever love them because clearly they are so hideous that the moment they look in a mirror, it cracks and breaks, and oh, they should just wear a bag over their head or call themselves Igor and live in a bell tower.
Ugh.
I know, and it kills me because, first of all, I don't look in the mirror and think I'm the, you know, most beautiful person I've ever seen either. I can certainly pinpoint every single solitary flaw that I wish I could fix.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I'm sitting next to a man who tells me and tells other people in public where other people can hear him.
Right.
How beautiful you think I am.
Because you are.
Aw, I always blush. It feels weird. I want to hide my face. And I did not say all of that to get the compliment, I swear to God. But we've now been together long enough that I know that it doesn't really... It matters how I see myself and how I feel about myself, mm-hmm. and my looks and my physical person.
Right.
But in the context of whether that makes me somehow worthy or not of being in a relationship, clearly it doesn't matter because you see attractiveness in me that I can't see, and look at us, we're together.
Right.
And I think that's kind of the beauty of the online world, because you get to know somebody's personality and you can't look at somebody and go, you don't. And I read this in John Warren's book. He says, you know, meeting in person, you'll go, oh, well, I don't like blondes, or, oh, I don't like short people, or, oh, mm-hmm. I don't like... And you'll negate people. You just won't even talk to them because you saw them first and they didn't fit a physical ideal.
Correct.
But when you meet online and you're forced to talk to one another...
You get to know them first.
And
you
then
get
it doesn't
to know
matter.
The actual person. Right, because
exactly.
it proves the point, and it sounds cliche, but beauty is... more than skin deep.
Absolutely. And beauty is truly in the eye of the beholder. When you love somebody or when you care about somebody, they are much more attractive to you than if you don't give a shit about them.
Right.
I mean, I used to think my ex-husband was handsome, and now I look at him and go, ooh. And it's because I don't like him. So that is, of course, the physical. People are worried they're too fat, or they're too old, or they're too wrinkly, or they've got, you know, some part of them that they hate. And what I always find fascinating is when I eventually, with some people, I eventually might get to see a picture of them.
Mm-hmm.
I do not, or I meet them in person, I do not even see what they are talking about. We as an individual, and I'm sure dominants have this as well, but I'm talking from the submissive side, we can get so fixated on things that we consider flaws, they become mm-hmm. way bigger in our head than they really are.
Right.
And if you've been online for any amount of time, let's bring this back. Let's put this into kink and fetish terms. There is a kink and a fetish for anything and everything, okay? Anything and everything. Now, some, depending on your perspective, might be, what's the word I want? Oh gosh, there was a word.
I don't know the word.
I haven't had enough coffee yet today. This is wild.
I'm so sorry.
I know. You are on your third or fourth cup.
Yes.
I'm on, like, my second sip. some things... it's insulting, and there's another word I can't think of right now. But when you realize, oh, somebody's fetishizing that, it's kind of gross that somebody turns something like the color of your skin or how heavy you are into a fetish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people don't always love that certain things are fetishes. But what I like to say, even if I find offensive
okay.
was the word I wanted.
Okay.
Ha ha! I found it. I am so sorry I took y'all on that journey with me.
Now you know what it's like for me.
It's one of those, if I just keep talking, the word will hit me. You might find a fetish offensive, and that is okay. There's nothing wrong with being offended by a fetish. But what I like to point out to people is, if something is fetishized and sexualized, that means there are people who look at that thing, whatever
mm-hmm.
that may be, and like it.
Well, it comes down to the same thing with kink. Your fetish is not my fetish, but
your fetish
it's
is okay. But my point is, if you are insecure about your weight, or you are insecure,
right.
like I, the joke we have around here, I'm constantly tweezing something because I say my people are swarthy people, dark hair, and it grows everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be really like freaked out about that. Now I'll tweeze
yeah.
things in front of you. I'm like, whatever, I got a stray hair, it's got to go. Well, some people get really, like, I used to be really freaked out. Don't see that some random hair grew where it should not have grown, or my hair's dark so you can see it in places I don't necessarily want you to see it.
Right.
And yet I know, because I know everything out there is a kink or a fetish,
mm-hmm.
somebody out there thinks that's great. So my point is, the thing that you hate about yourself could be the thing that somebody else loves about you, or
right.
just doesn't even care, or doesn't see, or doesn't notice, and it's not... that big a deal. It's a big deal to you in your head,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't and shouldn't prevent you from eventually being loved. Now, let's be real. sometimes we hate things about ourselves because the general public has made fun of us, teased us, laughed us, rejected us for those things. You're too fat, you're too heavy, you're too short, you're too tall. Your boobs are too small, your labia are too big. I mean, I have sort of read now and heard a lot of different ways we can be physically rejected.
Right.
Then we internalize those rejections and we say, there is something wrong with me. Okay, unfortunately, a lot of people are just assholes, and I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
All that means to me is when you do find somebody who looks at you and thinks you're the most handsome or the most beautiful human being on the planet, and they want to stare at your face forever, it's that you were just dealing with a lot of assholes and you had to go through crap to get to the one good person who mattered.
Well, you made a comment earlier about me being...
all hairy, yeah.
All hairy. Okay. Thank you. When I was younger, it seemed all I'd meet were women who were completely turned off by the fact that I was hairy. Okay. And for a very long time, that was a big insecurity for me. Because it seemed like, you know, the ideal male was...
And it will feel like that, depending on what the trend is or who you surround yourself with or where you go and where you meet people.
Right.
Sure.
So, you know, the ideal male for that time was smooth.
And a lot of men, still to this day, a lot of men wax or shave or get rid of hair in whatever way.
And
they're not all swimmers.
It, well, you know, there again, too, it came to that point with me that it hit me so much, and it became an insecurity. You know, why am I...
Why do I have to be so hairy?
Yeah,
I have asked myself that for 20
years.
And
I mean, I hair started popping as soon as I hit puberty.
I understand.
Okay? And I did. I tried to shave.
Which you then realized was just not a good way to deal with it.
I shaved my chest and stomach, and oh my God, it was horrible.
Oh, I would imagine it was.
Worst thing I ever did.
Did you ever do 40-year-old virgin get the chest waxed?
No. No. No.
Wait, I can get my vagina and my vulva waxed, but okay. It's fine. It's fine.
And it took me many years to get past that. You know, now it's like, okay, you know, here I am, hair and all, take me as I am.
Well, now I'll make my earlier point, take it another step. Before I met you, not much before I met you, but before I met you, certainly with any previous vanilla relationship,
right.
I thought I did not like chest hair and back hair and arm hair. And that I preferred men.
And everywhere hair.
Hair, everywhere. Yeah, we'll start singing in a minute. Just a second. I thought, that's not my favorite. It wasn't something I necessarily would reject somebody over, but if I saw somebody and I perceived them to be extra super hairy, I probably would not immediately think, oh, they're attractive. And yet on you, I cannot get enough. Now, I have also learned it makes you very warm.
Oh, okay.
So
well,
you're my personal heater, too.
Right. Well, when I met you, too, I had a Van Dyke.
You'll have to explain that to some of the audience.
Okay, mustache and then hair on the chin.
Just the chin, yeah.
Just the chin. And that was something you really weren't into either, was facial hair.
No, I wasn't.
And now I've got a full beard, and you just love it.
And, well, yes, but I love it to a point. When you got all shaggy last week, I was like, you're going to trim that.
Well,
right?
Yeah, I know. I got...
But when you threatened to shave it all off, I say, no,
right.
don't, please keep it.
I mean, I had mutton chops going there
for
a while.
Yeah, you did.
While,
if
you know,
I can grab your head by your beard, for me, that's a little too long. But... That's the thing. A thing you were insecure about for years, a thing I would have said, oh, not my thing, you now walk around with no shirt on all the damn time.
Right.
And I'm like, yes, chest hair. So
Because for a long time I hid it. I wore long sleeve shirts.
Thing.
You know, my shirts were buttoned all the way up. And
that, what is that old saying? That the things one person dislikes about you will be the thing somebody else loves about you?
Yeah.
You know, physical insecurities come from so many places, and the smallest and the biggest things can be a source of insecurity. It feels completely just pat and to go, oh, we'll just get over it, because nothing is just just get over it. It takes time, it takes effort. But we all, I think most of the sort of general population of humanity, we all have something that we look at and go, ooh, I wish it wasn't like that.
I mean, it's even to the point now that I joke about it, and I,
you know, yeah, I'm the silverback gorilla.
I know. And I love that about you. I do. I run my fingers and my fingernails through your chest hair and mm-hmm. just love it. And yet, I'm like, please keep the hair on your head short.
Yeah.
I'm so weird. And that's okay. That's why you love me. So, okay, those are physical insecurities. And, y'all, I could do a running laundry list. But what I'm saying is...
You would have loved it when I had my afro back
now,
in the
I've
day.
Seen those pictures. No, y'all, and we're not being insensitive. He has really tight, curly hair.
Yep.
And when it grows, it does not grow down. It grows out.
It grows up and out.
And I have seen the pictures of, what, the 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah, afro with the pick in, right?
Yeah.
He was able to sport the pick.
Yep.
So some of our listeners will go, oh, yeah, no, what the, yeah, he, John Brownstone, we keep it short now. So I guess, you know, I'm not going to spend 100 years on physical insecurities because there's so many, but I would say that the thing that looms large in your head when you look in a mirror,
mm-hmm.
somebody else will either, one of two things, and maybe even both, they either won't even see it at all because they're not looking, they're not that nitpicky. They like you, they enjoy mm-hmm. you, they love you even. They don't even see those small things because those things don't rank on some sort of list for them. Oh, they have lines around their eyes. Uh-oh. You know, there are people out there who do not care, and those are the people that you probably want to spend some time with. And at the other end of it is that they will see it about you because they're not blind and love it, whatever it is, in spite of, because of who you are. You know, there's... I hate my stomach. I promise y'all, I hate my stomach. I don't even mind being plus size. I don't mind being curvy. We have a rule that if I lose weight, I can't lose too much weight.
That's right.
It's not something I have to worry about. It will not happen, short of illness. But my stomach is just a thing I hate about myself.
Well.
And yet he will just put his face in my stomach and just like live there for a while.
Because it's beautiful.
To you.
But then again, I have the same insecurity as a man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My early life, my 20s, 30s, and even early 40s, my life revolved around physical work.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in excellent physical shape. And I was very proud of that. You know, you still talk about my shoulders.
Oh, he's very broad, okay. Very stocky, broad-shouldered.
And... But, you know, I had six-pack abs also.
Oh, good Lord. I would have loved them and worshipped them and yet been so intimidated by them if I had known you.
And I got to a point probably mid-40s where I call it that my body betrayed me.
Aww.
I have 4 bulging discs mm-hmm. in my back, courtesy of genetics. And all the physical labor I did.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I cannot do the things I used to do. I had to give up kayaking.
Mm-hmm.
And from all that, for many years, I worked out at the gym, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could lift weight like you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that kind of turns me on.
And I cannot do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And from that...
You've got a tummy, but gone down since I've been here.
I have managed to lose a good bit of weight, thankfully, to your smoothies.
Well, and the way you do eat better with me. But, and you know what's funny? I don't care, from an aesthetic perspective, if you have a large stomach or a small stomach. You had that man thing that your fat, your stomach was firm because your fat was like I think it's under the organs is what makes it really unhealthy.
Yes.
And I was scared for you. I didn't want you to get sick or have a heart attack. And so I was like, okay, I'm not trying to force you to like lose a whole bunch of weight, but we have to make your stomach mushy.
Mm-hmm.
Like mine is mushy. Yeah. It is now.
It is.
We decreased the fat that was in the bad spot.
Yeah.
And yeah, you've got some jiggle, which I think is sexy too. I play with your jiggle all the time.
Well, you know, I lost what? I'm.
You weigh less than I do.
I think I lost 40 or 50 pounds.
Over time, yeah.
Over time.
I was struggling to lose 5 pounds and you dropped 25 like nothing.
But yet I look in the mirror and I still...
You don't like it. And see that, I think the point of all that, because like I said, we could spend forever on physical insecurities,
right.
is everybody has them.
Yes.
Even the people who seem the most confident, especially people who are in loving relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We all have them. You either overcome them, you accept right. them, or they... Some of my insecurities have become less important over time. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily accept them. I just kind of yeah. don't care about them anymore.
I think the physical insecurities, it's more common to hear about it from women.
Oh, absolutely. Which means I hear about it from more submissives than I do dominance. As well.
But, you know, men do have...
Right, which means dominants do have yeah. insecurities. Especially right. if you... See, I have been chubby my whole life. So mm-hmm. I don't have a picture in my head except of a one-year time frame prior to when I got pregnant with my youngest.
Right.
It was the lowest weight I had ever reached. I've never gotten back down there again, which means it probably was not a healthy weight for me. But a lot of people have a before and after picture in their head. You remember a time when you were, like, hot, right? And you look at yourself now and you don't think you're hot anymore. I do. I will rub myself up on you like a feral cat in heat, which is a terrifying combination, but I'll do it. So it
doesn't bother me.
I know, you kind of like it too. So for people who have that before and after, they're constantly trying to get back to what they feel was their ideal. And how many times have we heard the, I wish I was fat the way I used to think I was fat? When, you know, for me, I've always been chubby, so I don't have that picture. Mm-hmm. So while I dislike certain things about myself, part of me is going, but this is who I am because this is who I've always been. Yeah. And there are times where it's less important. But the way my stomach looks is always an issue. I don't care how big or small I am. The way my stomach looks, like, I hate to bear my stomach. I hate for anybody but you now to see my stomach. Now, do you remember the first time I got naked in front of you and you saw my stomach? Do you remember what I did?
No, I
sobbed.
I don't.
You made me stand in front of my huge mirror That's that I right. had and stare at myself. And I cried the whole time. It wasn't even that I didn't mind seeing myself. I've been looking at this stomach for 30 plus years at that point. I didn't want you to see my stomach. And I sobbed.
But you don't see you as I see you.
Exactly. And that is my point right. of this whole physical insecurity thing. Yeah. So we're going to get off physical okay. insecurities because we could do a whole show on that. And I don't want to do a whole show on that.
Okay.
Maybe another time we'll do a whole show All right. on that. Okay.
Moving along.
Next one is more of the mental and emotional insecurities.
Yes.
And we tend to call these kind of come under the umbrella of past tapes because, or bad tapes.
Bad tapes.
Because most of the time they are reflective of past relationships, but not always.
Right.
So some people, and I say this because I've gotten the emails, the FetLife messages, the whatevers. People will say, well, I have anxiety. Clearly nobody's ever going to love me. I have depression. Nobody's ever going to love me. Well, that's not true.
No.
Will it be more difficult? I'm not going to pretend it's not more difficult to establish relationships and grow healthy relationships when you're dealing with mental illness. Absolutely, it can be more difficult.
It's not impossible.
But it's not impossible. And somebody will love you even though you feel like your head is completely scrambled and fucked up. And so some people's insecurities are about their own mental health.
Right.
And I get that. I can imagine that because I think of, I did not know I had mental illness, like being bipolar or the different types of anxiety that I have. Mm. I just thought I was really moody, and I always thought that was a failing of mine that I couldn't overcome the moodiness. Like sometimes I'd be low, sometimes I'd be scared, and I never understood why. And so I considered it a defect in myself prior to having any diagnosis. And so when meeting people, I would try to hide it in right. the beginning, certainly. I didn't show all my crazy all at once. or I would actually use it as a shield to deflect attention. Oh, well, you don't want me. My mood changes too fast. Sometimes I don't want to talk to people. Sometimes I don't want to be around anybody. Sometimes I won't want you to touch me. You won't want me. And I would actually sort of use it against myself to convince somebody, oh, no, you don't want me. Because I figured I should tell them up front because they weren't going to want me anyway. And that way I didn't get into the relationship, like okay. them a lot, love them, and then get disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I would just tell them up front. And most people who are looking for something casual and don't want to work in the relationship, and that is okay. That's a legitimate yeah. way to go through life. They would run. And so then it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. Oh, nobody wants me because I'm this weird, moody chick.
Mm.
Or I would do my best to hide it thinking, it's been a couple months since I've, you know, had a down period or I've gotten moody. I'm sure I'll be fine. And then you get like a yeah. few weeks into knowing somebody and I'd have days where I didn't want to answer my phone. I didn't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
But I had to try and I faked my way through it because I didn't want them to know. I did that before I had a diagnosis. I can only imagine how some people not everybody, certainly, but some mm-hmm. people who do have a mental illness that they understand they're living with and they're coping with and they're, you know, handling the best they can,
right.
how that could affect some people. And I say yeah. that because I've gotten the messages from people, usually women, not because mm-hmm. men don't have this. I think it's because most men are not going to confess to me, a female submissive, that they feel that way. So I would never say that men don't go through this. Of course they do.
Yeah.
I just hear about it from female submissives more gotcha. Often than anybody else.
Okay.
Because probably because they feel comfortable talking to
mm-hmm.
you.
Well, for me, it was more bad tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm slowly have gotten past most of that.
Mm-hmm.
I chose really wrong people. A relationship.
You and me both, dude. You and me
okay.
both.
Okay. And for me, it was a lot of, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough. I,
mm-hmm.
you know, and don't do this right. You don't do that right.
And that comes from a place. It is typically somebody in your life has said that to you. You've internalized it. You've chosen to believe it, either because there was no reason for you not to believe it, because there were other outside influences making you feel that way as well.
Yeah.
So when somebody said it or treated mm-hmm. you that way, you were like, well, clearly that must be the truth because look at, quote, all these people telling me this.
Right.
Which is a perception problem more than
yeah.
anything. You get around one or two shitty people, you
mm-hmm.
can be made to believe the worst things about yourself.
And, you know, it took a lot of soul searching
mm-hmm.
and looking back over my life to say, hey, maybe I'm not. You know,
right?
I've owned a successful business. Mm-hmm. I put myself through college, graduated with honors, top of a class.
Of course you did.
So.
Right. I'm doing something right.
Yeah.
So clearly I'm capable of doing things right.
Yes.
So I'm not as shitty as these other people. And see, that's the other thing. Sometimes, there's sort of this trite thing out there that says, you know, before you diagnose yourself with depression, you know, make sure you're not surrounded by assholes.
Yeah.
And for some people, that is probably very true.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily like to say depression, but, you know, I would change it to say before you think the worst of yourself,
mm-hmm.
make sure you're not surrounded by assholes.
Yeah.
And really what it can sometimes take, because some people aren't quite ready for that level of clarity, because I know plenty of people who think the worst things about themselves on a mental and emotional level, and they do plenty of soul searching, and because they are looking for things to validate that feeling. People
mm-hmm.
have said it, so let me look. They can look inside themselves,
right.
which is a great skill to have,
mm-hmm.
but they're only focusing on the things that validate the shitty things other people have said about them, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it's not, you're not quite ready. You can look inside yourself, and it's not quite enough. Sometimes, not everybody, but sometimes what you need is one outside person,
mm-hmm.
not always a romantic interest. It could just be a genuinely good friend, to go, you're the fucking shit, man. I think you're fucking awesome. I purposely, if I see something good about a person,
mm-hmm.
especially if they're a friend, but I try to do it with people in general, and I don't like talking to people in general.
Everything is awesome.
I try to find something good to say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
We all have a thing that we don't think we do really well, and if I see
True.
From an outsider's perspective, no, I'm going to show my age. You're the bomb. Okay. You younger millennials will be like, what the fuck did she say? It's okay. It's okay. 90s kids, 80s kids, you got me.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to hear that because I might be the first voice they've heard that wasn't
yeah.
their mother or, you know, somebody who is, quote,
mm-hmm.
supposed to love you
right.
that tells them something that is genuinely good. I don't blow smoke up anybody's ass. I will not lie to you just to make you feel good. Well, I might say that you look pretty if I think I wish you would get the lipstick off your teeth. But then I would also tell you you had lipstick on your teeth.
Yeah.
So I try to be good like that, too. I have told you on more than one occasion you got a little something there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But my point is, tangent over, that sometimes what we need is to hear people who don't, quote, have to love us or have to say nice things
yeah.
to us. Say something that is genuinely true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see that you are a good writer. You are a good this. You're a good that. And if you hear something enough from people who you feel like you can trust or,
right.
you know, don't go around lying to other people or whatever, you might finally have that little pinpoint of light off in the distance to go, hey, wait, maybe there is something good about me. Mm-hmm. And then you can take that soul searching that you're already doing to validate all the bullshit mm-hmm. that people have convinced you of to maybe find the good.
Because look at the accomplishments you have made.
Right.
Look at how you treat people.
Right.
Okay.
Being a good friend is a major yeah. fucking accomplishment right. in life.
And that's something you don't see too much these days.
No, you don't. And you know what? If that is the only good thing you can find to say about yourself, that's a hella good fucking thing.
That's huge.
Okay, there's a Tampa car commercial where the guy says huge, and he made me think of that, and so then he threw off my whole... I was, like, getting ready to get all ramped up and tell people how great they were, and then Daddy goes and goes, huge, and I'm thinking of this commercial. If I can find it, maybe I need to link to it. Anyway, that the emotional and mental insecurities, to me, for somebody who has both, physical and the emotional and mental ones are the hardest to overcome.
Because they're always there.
They're always in your... I yeah. cannot look in a mirror. I can wear an outfit that just makes me feel really cute and go, oh, today I feel right. really cute. But I can't always get away from the...
Those tapes are there.
Exactly. Now, give you... some that are not necessarily relationship insecurities, but people, every time I admit to it, and I've admitted mm-hmm. to it on the show before, they are shocked by it. I am massively insecure about the advice I dole out. I am massively insecure about my own writing. Not all of my writing. Some of my writing, I'm like, oh yeah, that shit was fucking good. But the moment I put my name on an opinion, mm-hmm. I am waiting for somebody to tell me I am like the biggest idiot ever. I don't think I am. My test to myself to deal yeah. with that insecurity is, would I look at my best friend and say, this is what I think? Do I own this opinion? Mm. If I can be clear-eyed about it and go, yeah, this is what I really think, then insecurity be damned, I put it out there into the world.
Well, I remember, and this goes back a little bit to the physical insecurities, I remember the first time I took you to a club.
Oh, my God. It was not until I saw other heavy people that I was like, oh, I'll take my clothes off now.
and yeah, because at that point when we walked into that club, it was first time for you. I'd been many, many times.
Right.
But you saw such a diverse group of people.
Let's back up. The first thing I saw mm-hmm. were two beautiful, like porn star beautiful, fully heavily made up women that were either one woman was nearly naked. I think she might have been wearing a thong. The other was wearing this beautiful corset, and it was the kind that don't cover the boobs, so her boobs were up on top.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was wearing a thong, but you couldn't quite tell from the angle, so it was like you saw her ass. The woman who was wearing barely anything ended up being fully naked on an inversion suspension
yeah.
in the middle of the floor, and her whole body was just on display. And then this other woman who was just... like in an earthy way, so fucking beautiful. She had these gorgeous, like, voluptuous boobs I just want to, like, bury my face in. And or just touch. Sorry, I'm having a moment. Anyway, they were gorgeous. And I went, oh God, now I'm going to just sit here and watch. But then,
mm-hmm.
later, I saw a guy that was, like, easily twice your size all the way around. Getting the shit beaten out of him, and he loved it. I saw a woman who was probably about, definitely bigger than me, but not like, it wouldn't have mattered mm-hmm. how much bigger, but she was bigger than I was. She's mostly naked, getting some rope bondage done on her. And then I saw somebody else who was older, and so things, mm-hmm. older than me at least, and so things were not quite in the place they'd been in 20 years prior, and she's naked. I mean, at that point I went, oh, what the hell was I worried about? Now, but if right. all I had seen on that yeah, first visit okay. was those two original women, I would have been turned on, but I would have kept my damn clothes on. But the point is, I've never gone to any event, club, munch, anything, where it was only the beautiful people. And mm-hmm. that's part of physical, mental, and emotional insecurity we feel. We have this picture in our head of what BDSM is, quote, like, and it's usually based on porn or erotica.
Right, or the images we see on Tumblr and
exactly.
Twitter.
Exactly, and so then we tell ourselves, well, I'm not that, so clearly I shouldn't be this. Here's another one, age. Mm. I get messages from people all the time who say, well, I'm older, I clearly can't really be a baby girl or a little. Yeah, the
yeah,
fuck you can.
Yeah,
the fuck you can.
Yeah.
You can be whoever you are. Mm-hmm. The things about ourselves, some things you can't change. I can't change what my stomach looks like. I can't change how old I am. Okay. Right. But they aren't allowed to stop me anymore, I've decided. Yeah, it's right. A decision I made. They are not allowed to stop me from the things that fulfill me, that turn me on, that make me happy, that give my life meaning, whatever it is. So, yeah, it's that's the thing I like about the community in general. Not that necessarily you're going to walk in and everybody's going to love you and it's going to be a perfect vibe and whatever, but what you will walk into a room and see are real fucking people. Warts and all, wrinkles and all, fat, skinny, and short, tall.
And they're all there for the same thing, to enjoy their life of kink.
And when you start getting to know them, this is what's been, was really helpful to me. Once I started getting to know people in the online community and in the in real life, you know, local community, everybody's got some mental thing, anxiety, depression. Yeah. We've met people, I think I've mostly met them online, people who have autism. They're somewhere on the spectrum.
Right.
And they're into BDSM. You can be anybody and anything.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what is, quote, in quote, wrong with you.
Right.
You know, the things that can be, we'll say, wrong with you that can and should probably prevent good, healthy relationships are if you are an abusive asshole. If you are a big, fat liar and you never tell anybody the truth. You know what? If your relationships get wrecked because of those things, you should have expected it. But because you have depression or because you feel bigger than everybody you know and you can't find the clothes you like, which sucks, and y'all, I do know that that really does suck, or because you're older, or because you're hairy like my daddy, whatever, those things don't have to prevent you from finding what works. You might have to shift how you experience it at first to find what works for you.
It doesn't make you a good person, or
a bad person.
A bad person, sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you.
I think they knew what you meant, too. It's
I hope so.
You need more coffee, too, don't you?
Yes, I do.
So the problem with talking about insecurities in general is that there are so many. We could have done a whole show on the different emotional insecurities. But let's talk about a common thing that people don't say insecurity.
Okay.
They say another word, and I'm going to say it, and then we're going to talk about why we shouldn't say that word.
I know. Okay.
But what they really are saying is, I am insecure. When they say this word, this is what they mean. Okay?
Okay.
Jealousy.
Ooh.
So, let me back up. First of all, I want to give total credit to Professor Sex / Angel is her name.
Right.
She has awesome purple hair, and I love her just genuinely. And she's probably kind of squeeing a little bit right now because I know she listens to the show. Anyway, we heard her on another podcast, of an episode of another podcast, where she was talking about being open and poly and having to deal with the emotions that come with that.
Right.
And she said something that blew my mind, and I immediately went, yes, I totally feel the rightness of that. And it was that when she's discussing how she feels in a relationship, and she used to say the word jealous, she now no longer says jealous for a very good reason. One, jealous, ooh, it was loving without boundaries? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I think so. Well, we'll give a shout out to
it.
That by saying jealousy, that I'm jealous, you are doing this thing, and I am jealous because you are doing this thing here in our relationship, she was putting the onus of her own feelings on the other person as if it was their responsibility, and she was not actually saying how she felt. It was an easy catch-all. So she has eliminated the word jealousy from those kinds of conversations so that she is forced to say what she really feels. Mind blown.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome.
And that makes a lot of sense, because then you have to look into yourself to see what is the basis of those emotions.
Right. What is happening, and how does that relate to you and how you feel about things to make you go, okay, I feel jealous. Well, what does that really mean? So now let me back up. Before I heard this...
Self-growth.
I know, right? Before I heard this definition...
Mm-hmm.
Which I've totally adopted, and I'm like, I put it out there. I'm like, Professor Sex says... I had gotten a message on FetLife from a submissive, a very nice submissive, and we talked a little bit, and then she said, okay, I have a question. She says, I have bad tapes from previous relationships. It's always ended badly, blah, blah, blah. My partner knows this, about me. And we've been working on my jealousy issues for a long, long time. And he, you know, he is trustworthy and he does what he says he's going to do. And he doesn't give me any reason to worry, but I worry anyway. She said, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose him because I can't seem to like just get over this. And then in the course of the conversation, she said, and he's really active in our, you know, like our FetLife community and our local community. And there's somebody from our local community moving away, happened to be female. This was a male dom, female sub, hetero couple. She said, this female person in the community is moving away and everybody's leaving messages on FetLife to say, oh, we're going to miss you, blah. He does that. Her response to me is, how could he do that? He knows I get jealous when he talks to other females. Now, she said, do you think this is a test? I'm like, oh, goodness. So when I give advice, I try to be really gentle,
mm-hmm.
and I try to be really open-ended because I don't, there's no way in hell I know enough about a situation
right.
to say it's this or that, right?
Correct.
So I started out kind of gentle. Well, I guess it could be a test. I don't know what your dynamic is, but then I kind of went, okay, let me go with gut here. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, and I'll apologize if I'm wrong. But I said, look, I said, does everything he says he will do. He shows up when he says he will. He's consistent. You've never caught him in a lie. You know, as of right now, you've not ever discovered anything that was, you know, the opposite of what he said it was. Okay. If all of that is true, then why do you continue to question him? You probably are going to drive him away because a person can only take so much of that. If they are being who they say they are and you continue to reject that reality, it's exhausting. I said,
right.
But here's the thing. I said, you know, I said, do you really want to be with somebody who, I said, saying goodbye to somebody that you've known in the community for years and years, and she admitted this is somebody you'd known for a long time.
Okay.
I said, that shows that he's a nice guy and is kind of kind. To say, oh, you're going to be missed. Have a good life.
Yeah.
Do you want to be with somebody who's not kind and doesn't say nice things to people who genuinely should probably hear them? And she came back with, oh, God, you're so right. And I don't think I'm necessarily so right. I think there's a lot of other stuff I'm not being told because it was one message. But in the course of our ongoing conversation, I said, if everything he's done has been trustworthy and honest. You've never caught him in a lie. You've never caught him doing something he said he wasn't going to do. He's consistent and he shows up. I said, at a certain point, you have to say, I choose to accept that he is who he says he is.
Mm-hmm.
I said, and this isn't, you're jealous of him being nice to another person because they happen to be female? I said, they're just being a nice person. And that person happens to be female. I said, so I would say you need to look at why you feel this way. It's not his fault you feel this way. If he's never done anything, then it's not his fault. It's on you. What is it? And I was in a really roundabout way getting to what Professor Sex said in like three little words. And most people are much less wordy than I am. And so it was this moment where I felt kind of scared to go, wait a moment, you're mad because he said bye to somebody who happened to be female? What the hell? But it was one of the few times I threw back the insecurity and said, I don't think jealous is the word you want. I think you need to find a better word. And then we had this back and forth conversation and hopefully, you know, they've had a good resolution. But it was that moment where I went, oh my God, jealousy is not jealousy. She has an insecurity from her. She had bad taste. She had previous relationships where she'd been cheated on and lied to.
Mm-hmm.
And she did not, in the course of the conversation I learned, she did not feel worthy. And so she was constantly looking at other partners. And I who have trust issues, I totally get this. She was constantly looking at a current partner thinking, when are you going to fuck this up? When is this going to go bad? This is too good to be true. And so she was, by being really needy, really clingy, constantly questioning, sort of harping on things, demanding proof all the time, even over some of the smallest, most basic things, she was, you know, potentially driving off good partners.
Right, and eventually that will drive somebody off.
And it's not because you're not worthy of love if you do it. It's because a person can only do so much to show that they are who they are, and as long as they are consistent, at a certain point, you have to make a choice that you are going to trust them. And you might still be wrong. They might hurt you later. It happens. But this sort of cycle of misery and questioning and never sleeping well at night because what if, what if, what if, how is that better?
Yeah, no.
And I say this as somebody who kind of made you work really hard to get close to me. But once I gave you my trust, once I said, okay, my mental criteria has been satisfied to the best that it can be.
Well, what it came down to with you, with us, is that as time went on, you showed signs of trusting me.
Right.
Okay. Now, if you had not started giving me indications of trust, I probably would have backed away.
Right, because there's only so much a person should have to do. And if you are not willing, it's one thing to be scared, y'all. It is one thing to be scared because past relationships haven't worked out. It's one thing to be scared because you believe awful things about yourself. But at
being,
a certain...
Being afraid, being scared of something is normal. Fear is a normal... Fear is also a normal emotion, okay? But don't let your fear control you.
Exactly, because that fear comes from, it can come from very real, specific things that have happened to you that taught you to be afraid. I get that, but it also now is an insecurity you have. You are now terrified that it's going to keep happening. Now, sometimes it does continue to happen for a while, and you get in this cycle, and I get it.
Right.
We have talked about in past episodes kind of how to break that cycle a little bit.
But see... There comes to another thing, you know, like I said earlier in talking about my hairiness.
Which I love.
I tended towards a specific type of woman, okay, which was the wrong for me.
Right.
Okay. You are totally different from any woman I have.
Well, that was as a matter of course.
I know.
There's nobody like me.
But what I'm trying to say is, if you do the same thing over and over and expect different results, it's not going to happen. Sometimes you need to step outside your zone and try something new.
And sometimes you do, and you successfully do, and then... It's still terrifying because you're like, okay, I went out of my comfort zone and now here's this person and look, they're doing what they said they would do and they're treating me well and they're honest and they're trustworthy and they're consistent and they're communicating and they're all these things I've ever wanted. Do I really deserve this? It's another insecurity. Yeah. And so those kinds of insecurities based on fear will make you jealous, which is not a good word because what it is that you are afraid.
Right.
You are afraid you're going to lose them. You're afraid that maybe they're not as good as you thought they were. You're afraid that you're going to look foolish. Whatever the fear is, it's a thing, a tangible thing, and jealousy is a shitty word for it.
Yeah.
And I agree with Professor Sex. When you say, well, I'm jealous because they did that thing, you are putting how you feel on them, and now they have become responsible for your feelings, and that's not fair.
No.
You have to own your feelings. Can your feelings come from the actions of another? Can the actions of another contribute to your feelings? Of course they can.
Yes.
But then you have to be honest with yourself and go, was the action that bad? Or is it because I have past experiences or I have insecurities about myself or I have these things I believe about myself that's why this person saying, have a nice life, you're going to be missed to somebody of the opposite sex is so threatening? You know?
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of soul searching, and you will not, if you're hearing this, you're like, oh gosh, yeah, I'm going to have to, let me like sit with this for a while and try this out and whatever. You're probably not going to have this kind of soul searching go well the first time.
No.
It's really hard. You got to practice it.
It's tough. It's
working a new muscle.
Yeah, it is. And even that's scary. Okay. Looking into yourself and exploring your own feelings and emotions.
Especially if you've never really done it.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? In DS, in a kink relationship, that's even more important.
Right.
Okay? Whether it's a kinky relationship, a power exchange relationship, a poly relationship, you have to do that. You have to be able to come to terms with your feelings and emotions.
And if it is new for you, you have to understand that you are not going to get it right. Every time you are going to start and stop and it's going to feel like failure and you're going to think you know what the emotion is and you're going to move forward with that and you're going to go, oh shit, I was wrong.
Right.
And I get it. If you have an inherent false belief that you are somehow a failure at things, it makes it even harder. And I'm not trying to say that any of that's easy. None of it's easy.
No.
And you might need, and if your insecurities are just really make it feel impossible to do these things, you might need some professional help to help you do these things.
Right.
Her name is Professor Sex. I bet she can help you. A plug for my friend. We're going to have her on the show.
Yes.
Is what I think we're going to have
yes.
to do. But, you know, it is something that can eventually, with lots of work and lots of time and lots of soul searching, be overcome. And I would say that while physical securities hold us back from meeting people, it's those emotional insecurities and those mental insecurities and the things in our head that have nothing to do necessarily with how we look,
mm-hmm.
but how we feel about ourselves as a person, as an entity, not, oh, I don't like how my stomach looks, but, oh, am I smart enough? Oh, am I nice enough? Oh, am I feminine enough? Am I masculine enough? Am I strong enough? Am I whatever enough? Am I submissive enough? I have gotten that question too. And the thing is,
well, as a dominant, am I dominant enough?
Exactly. And the thing about that is there is no enough, okay? Mm-hmm. There is no submissive enough. That's an incomplete sentence. Submissive enough for a happy relationship and to satisfy you and your partner. It's like a really long, complicated sentence.
Oh, yeah.
There is no enough, okay? You can be a teeny tiny bit submissive, and that could work perfectly for the right partner. You could find complete and total happiness with just a little bit of submission. You can have major trust issues like I do and make poor people work so hard to overcome them and find that, okay, you found a person you can trust. And then you give the, like I have done with John Brownstone, he has every ounce of my trust. If I question something that he has said or done, it's not him, it's because it's an unfamiliar concept. And it's the concept I don't trust. It's never, he doesn't, now he's learning that for the first time, it's never him that I don't trust. This is new information and I need to process it and I need to understand it a little bit better first. Okay, here we go. So there is no enough. Okay, it's enough for you to have a satisfying, happy, healthy relationship with a person that works for you. Okay, there's no one size fits all. You don't have to be submissive like me. You don't have to be dominant like John Brownstone. You don't have to have zero insecurities. We've done that show where, you know, there are submissives who think, well, if I don't deal with my self-esteem issues and I don't deal with the things that are wrong with me, I'll never find love. That's not true. You're playing with, in golf it's called a handicap?
Yeah.
That's one and only sports metaphor.
Yeah.
You're playing with that kind of handicap. You're playing with something that makes it a little bit more difficult for you, but is not insurmountable.
No.
I'll give another example.
Okay.
Unfortunately, she cannot listen to the podcast, so I'll have to email her and let her know that I shouted her out.
Yeah.
We have a friend over in the UK. She is 62. She has said it on many, publicly many occasions. I'm not speaking out of turn. She is 62. She is deaf.
Yes.
Okay. She works with deaf people to teach them sign language. I can't remember, but she works with the deaf community. She is deaf.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She is a submissive through and through, knows that she's submissive, loves it. She is now divorced from a partner who was sort of strict, sort of overly controlling. It wasn't quite a good fit.
No.
She is now in a relationship with a man with cerebral palsy.
Uh huh.
And while there are physical limitations for them,
uh-huh.
she said in a comment on my personal blog the other day that it is the most fulfilling relationship she has had.
Yes, I saw that.
Because he makes her, you know, he tells her how beautiful she is. And he tells her over and over, you can do anything you want to do. And she's like, at 62, I might change my career because he believes in me. And it, you know, from the outside looking in, if you do not already come into a situation thinking anybody can find happiness with, you know, the right person, whatever the right person may be for them, you might go, how does that work? Well, I don't know how it works, and I don't have to know how it works. It works for them, and they are happy.
Exactly.
And my fingers are crossed for them that it is a long-term thing for them. But think about every relationship you've ever had that was really good until it wasn't, and the relationship had to end. Would you trade the time it was really good to avoid the pain of it ending?
Right.
Most of us would not. Not in unhealthy situations where there's abuse and some other issues. Yeah, you probably would. But in the natural course of a relationship, you had a really good period and it felt really good. And you had to deal with the rejection and the fallout. And But for her sake, it might not last forever. But if she's having the time of her life right now,
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't take that away from her for anything.
On that note, makes me think of a couple that I met at the club a while back. Wonderful, wonderful couple. Gentleman was dominant, and his female friend was his submissive. He was in a long-term marriage for many years. And him and his wife discovered DS. And they started exploring that. One of the things that came up was, you know, oh, we have time for that. We can do that later. We can, you know, and a lot of things in that aspect they kept putting off. She ended up getting sick and passing away. Took him a while to get over that. He met his current partner, and now...
He doesn't wait, does he?
Doesn't wait.
Mm-mm.
No.
No, because, yeah, you wait too long, and life happens, and you don't get to experience it
right.
all. And it's
sometimes... So him and her, they are out there. They are making the most of
what they have
and enjoying every damn minute of it.
Right. And when, as hard as it is, when you have insecurities or you have limitations, physical or otherwise, or, you know, I know a lot of people go, oh, well, after the kids are grown, I'll be kinky. You can be kinky with the kids.
Right.
You know, you can have kids and be kinky. When you keep putting it off and saying, when everything's perfect, when everything's perfect, when everything's perfect, and when we're talking about insecurities, you're saying, when I am perfect, you'll never be perfect.
Nope.
Just by the way, in case you wondered. When everything's right with me, then I can go out and enjoy this thing.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I know plenty of people who, they would tell you themselves, I'm a mental basket case. Like, I don't know how I get out of the bed some days. Okay? They have satisfying relationships.
Yeah.
Okay? I know people who have a whole bunch of kids and no money, and they, kinky fuckers, you know? People with disabilities enjoy kink, you know?
Yeah.
Fat people, skinny people, old people.
They find what works for them.
We live in a part of Florida that is most known for a community called the Villages, 150,000
yes.
elderly senior citizens. And unfortunately, on the downside, they also have some of the highest rates of sexually transmitted infections and diseases because they're not using condoms.
Right.
Because the women are like, well, fuck, I can't get pregnant. Let's go have sex now. And the men are like, we got Viagra. and so, but they're not protecting themselves like they should. And that statistic, that fact is something that is alarming and scary. I really don't want a grandparent to die of...
Yeah, no.
...of... an STD, but you know, it gives me hope. It means, oh, when I'm 90, I can still have sex.
Woo!
Damn straight, and it better be kinky. Now, by then, kinky sex might be a little different than what it is now.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Hey.
So, we all have limitations, and some of those limitations are absolute insecurities, things we believe about ourselves that aren't true, things that are true, but we see them in such a bad light that we can't ever see a positive in them.
Right.
You know, it is true that I have anxiety and I have been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, okay? That means
right.
there are times I'm way, way up and way, way down, can't get out of the bed, don't ask me for anything, you want me to submit to who what? Those things are true about me.
Right.
But what is also true about me is that I have found a partner who suffers through those moments and loves the yucky stomach I hate to look at and doesn't even bat an eye when I'm plucking out random hairs because my people are swarthy people in the bathroom. And everything I hated about myself is either something you love about me or something that is not, you don't judge it either way. It is just a part of who I am and you love all of me. So therefore you accept these parts of me.
Right.
Because
all those parts make up who you are and
exactly.
who I love.
And the thing is, and I wouldn't say this is a universal feeling, but I think that it's probably pretty common. What we want, most of us, is to be sort of universally accepted. It is hard for me to walk into a crowd of what I consider the beautiful people and feel confident because I do not consider myself one of the beautiful people. So I tend to get kind of quiet and I stay back and I let the beautiful people talk because I assume that they would not look at me and go, hey, baby. Well, they don't need to look at me and want me.
Well, that's their...
But just listen. I know you're about to defend me to this not real a group of beautiful people.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I think, especially when you're single and you're looking for a relationship, that's kind of what you want. You want to be able to walk up to people that you find attractive or you think might be interesting and immediately They want you in whatever form you want to be wanted. The thing is you don't have to be, you know, lusted after or wanted by the general population. In general, the general population kind of sucks. It's like the masses can, like, do some damage. So maybe you don't want to be liked by the masses. What you want or deserve or need, or pick a word, is for one person to look at you and think, that's my lobster.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that's my lobster just for today. Not everybody's looking for a soulmate. Apparently lobsters mate for life. That's the reference. I think my age is showing because that was a Friends reference. But you don't have to be lusted after by everybody. Just need the one person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to pay attention to the one person when you're too busy thinking about how much you think you suck, and not in a good way. But that's really all you need. And so it can be more difficult if you have things that slow you down or prevent you from, you know, being the, quote, life of the crowd and everybody loves you. I'm an introvert, and I have anxiety, especially social anxiety. I don't want to be loved by the crowd. I don't like the crowd. I'm sometimes turned on by the crowd. Sometimes I'm like, hey, there's some nice looking people in that crowd. But this is me, Kayla Lords speaking, I am rarely interested in being loved by all. Let me walk into the club, have my tits hanging mm-hmm. out, and oh, they're all going to want me, right? Probably not. There's some of those people, they could want me. I don't want them, and I don't really want them to want me. And I think that's where we get it kind of skewed. Some of us get it skewed in our head. Well, if I was, quote, perfect, I could walk into a crowd of any amount of Kingsters and they all want me. And they all think I'm great. They don't all have to think you're great. You just need the one person to think you're great. And they're out there, but they might not look like the person you think they should. I mean, truly, truly, we have said this on many occasions on this show. If we had physically met first, there is a good chance that we would have bypassed one another. I was a single woman with two kids, which was terrifying to you, and you were not some tall, 30-something, broad-shouldered, six-pack abs, hairless man. And that's what I had always had before, and none of that worked out, so clearly I needed to go the opposite direction. But I think I look at you sometimes, and y'all, this you'll awe and think we're cute. I don't care. My mouth waters. I'm like, oh my God, he's so fucking sexy. I just want him to fuck me right now. Because I do. I check you out. Like, and when you walk around the bedroom naked, I'm really checking you out. It's just saying. And yet, we each have our own insecurities, things that we think about ourselves, oh, nobody will ever love.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, those things that we dislike about ourselves most are the things that the other ends up loving the most. So, I went off on a major tangent.
Yep.
Did we get through the notes?
I think.
Well, yeah, we...
Yeah, we did.
My notes were really, like, linear, and, oh, we'll talk about this, and then we'll talk about that. But we are not linear people.
No, we're not.
We are roundabout, twisty-turny, topsy-turvy.
Wibbly-wobbly.
Timey-wimey. Yeah. I know. Is there anything else you can think to say that we didn't say? This is such a big topic. We're going to come back to it in different forms. We do have, for those of us who have requested it multiple times, we are going to talk about bad taste.
There is one other thing I do want to add to this. You know, as most of you who are regular listeners know, my life has changed.
Our life has changed.
Our life has changed. And one of the big worries that I had in that was being at home all the time, would I still feel as powerful in my dominance? And that was a real concern for me for quite a while in all this.
Mm.
And, you know, it's one thing you go, you leave the house every day, you know, you do your thing and tell you, you know, okay, you're going to do this today, you're going to do that. And I come home and we have our little routine. And that was all being thrown to the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And would I be able to maintain my dominance? that was a real insecurity for me.
Mm-hmm.
And happy to say that, you know, and maybe it's because I did look at it that way. I was able to not only maintain it, but I think
You're way more dominant acting.
Yeah.
You're no more dominant than you were before, but the outward actions and things you say and appearance, way more dominant.
And I think, I was talking with somebody about that the other day. I think it's because now I can fully embrace who I am without having to worry about it as much.
I think that's a big part of it. But I also think from the times I've watched over the years where things would ebb and flow, and there were times you just truly could not accept another request or question from me. I think it is right now, at least, which I say it like that because I don't think that this is necessarily a permanent state.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a couple things. You don't have major demands on your time in the same way. You have different types of demands of your time. And those demands are my demands, and so we are there together.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel more in control of your life. You went to a job where they ripped away any control you could have legitimately had in that job.
That and self-esteem and everything else that went along with it.
Soul killer there. So you would come home and just be, it was all in body language. You would be bent low, the weight of the world. My life sucks. My job sucks. I have no control over anything. And I was constantly kind of going, you can take more control here at home. You can, but you didn't have the mental energy or the room for it.
I didn't have the physical or mental capacity to do it.
Right. And now you do. You've got this weight lifted off of you.
Yes.
You are more in control of your own life now.
Yes.
Work and personal.
Correct.
And so it makes more sense to me that it's kind of, and I had the same fear in reverse. I was afraid that by being the primary breadwinner and, you now ask my opinion on the money, and it used to be the other way around, and I'm still not used to that. Why are you asking me? Just tell me. But, I am grateful for it because you respect the role I play. It's a different role than what I played a little bit ago. So, but I did worry. Would I feel as submissive? Because here I am. I'm in charge of the work. I'm not doing the domestic stuff. But because you've been able to step up and express your dominance more freely and more often, I feel more submissive as a result.
Yeah.
And I'm also much more aware of when the things that pop out of my mouth do not sound much like a submissive.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel really bad about that. I mean, I feel guilty, a good submissive would have said that nicer than I did. but by feeling more dominant and behaving in a more outwardly dominant way, it allows me to feel more submissive and behave usually in a more submissive way. So we both had that fear, those worries.
So, are we good?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I thought I was so in my head. I'm like, oh, look at us. We are going to be so disciplined with this one. This is such a big and important topic. And just,
poof.
I hope somebody got something out of it.
I know.
All need to follow at Professor Sex on Twitter.
Yes,
she's brilliant, and I'm working on ways of easily doing interviews without sacrificing audio quality because that was my big issue. And we'll see. I might be able to do some of that coming soon. So
we're good.
We sort of So we do have postcard. We have a little bit of rambly stuff, not too much. So if you want to stick around for the bonus section, please do. But if you're like, oh, shit, you've already taken up over an hour of my time, have a good day, a good evening, whatever time it is when you're listening.
Whatever it is, have a good one.
Exactly.
So on that note, keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. Don't look all frowny at me. It's the crickets. It's for the crickets.
Baby girl.
Think of the crickets.
Baby girl.
Yes, Daddy. Please.
You have permission.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay, so we did get a postcard. And the postcard, the person who signed it is Razz, RAZZ113. I know they are on FetLife. And then their partner is Baker's Hell 82. I don't know if you live in a place with bakers in it, and if it's the one I'm thinking of, I would agree with you, or if you are a baker and it is hell, but either way, I'll link to them, but they sent us a postcard from Lake Tahoe. How cool is that? But it came back to them, so then they were very diligent and consistent and sent it again, this time in an envelope. So I just want to say thank you for caring enough to, like, really make sure it got to us. Let's see. They are very sweet and nice. And we, after listening to us and exploring their own community, they've gone out into their local community in their first munch and they're on FetLife. And yay! So if we have helped facilitate any of that, we are very proud to have done that. And this postcard is gorgeous. And I would like to go on the record and say that for once, I have sent off all the postcards I owe people, including Raz and Baker's. I did that before we even recorded this, so I am on the freaking ball. If you want to send a postcard, I have had a couple people tell me online, oh yeah, I'm sending postcards, and Panda Kitten, if you want to send postcards all the time, I don't mind, just so we never have an empty post office box, that's fine. But you can send us a postcard, and we say postcard because we're going to send you a postcard back if you give us a return address, but it can be a letter, it can be a card. I've gotten Hallmark cards. I think that's great too. But if you want to participate, the link is in the show notes page, or you can just take down our mailing address, and that is P.O. Box 391, Crystal Beach, Florida. We don't live in Crystal Beach, but we are close to it. Crystal Beach, Florida, and that's 34681. And you can send us mail from anywhere in the world, and as long as I have a return address, I will pay the postage to get a postcard to you. Now, if it is someplace where postage for even a postcard is like $5, you will only get one. But you will get one as long as I get a return address. So feel free. What we love are the kind of touristy ones from your local area or near your local area, but apparently those are becoming fewer and fewer to be found. So we'll take anything we can get. We just love real...
Take a photo of something touristy in your
right
area.
We did have somebody who took pictures and printed them out and made them in the postcards. So we just like getting real mail that's not a bill. And we figure you do too.
Right.
So please, please, please participate. We love you. And Raz and Baker's Hell, thank you for this. This is awesome. Let's see. Other random stuff. We're about to, as soon as we stop recording and we get everything going, we're going to go try a massive, massive toy.
Yes.
That sat in a giganto box in our bedroom for way too long.
Yeah.
And if we like it, you will hear about it next week's show.
Yeah.
So.
I may even have a go at it.
Well, you said you were going to use it. And when I said.
I'm a bit of a hedonist at heart. So,
well,
you know.
May I tell them the term we agreed upon that would explain how you're going to use it? May I do that?
Well, you're using a different term than really should be used.
Oh, well, what term should it be used?
More along the line of prostate.
I said pegging.
Yeah.
Well, it's a few inches long. I mean, that's penetration.
Well, yeah, it is.
It's just not me penetrating.
No.
Because that's a limit.
Yeah, I know.
I know. We need to find you a nice person.
Right. Always had a little curiosity about that, but
You're about to find out.
Yeah.
So I got the toy in exchange for a review. The company is called Motor Bunny.
Yeah.
It is not an inexpensive toy at all. It's a very expensive toy, but it is still lower priced than the competition. I'm not going to say the competition's name. We have really high hopes for this thing.
Yeah.
And I'm trying it today so I can get my review out today, still in the month of June, like I promised.
Mm-hmm.
But Daddy has said that if he enjoys it and has a positive experience, which he's hoping for, that
I'll write about it as well.
He'll write his own review. And then if we like it, because of the type of toy it is, and that's got a huge factor in kink, we will talk about it next week. Right. So, fingers are crossed. Let's see. We had to go out of town for a couple days this week, so the schedule got kind of messed up.
Yeah.
But I did start reading The Loving Dominant.
Yes.
And there are so many times it's validation for me because his book, first of all, he's been in the lifestyle at this point probably 40 years, maybe longer.
Mm-hmm.
And the original book came out like way, way, way long time ago.
Oh, yeah. That was the first book I read many, many years
ago. I would say now that I've read about half of it. It's Thursday we're recording, so by Saturday I'll have read the whole thing.
Right.
But I think I would absolutely say if you are a new kinkster, dom, or sub, and you know that you identify one or the other or both, that would be a book everybody should read.
The book is called The Loving Dominant, but I have told over time I have told people dom or sub, switch, or whatever your proclivity is.
It.
Read that book. That is an excellent, excellent book to read to get some insight on the lifestyle, no matter what your proclivity is.
And he even says he thinks submissives should read it so that if you are in a situation where you know you're submissive, but you're helping to kind of pull along your partner who doesn't quite know if they're dominant or whatever, and or you're introducing kink to your relationship, that you... He's got a section. It says, the heading said, hand this to your partner who you would like to be your dominant and have them read it.
Yeah.
And it was a section addressed to, you know, in the premise, it was like, okay, you're vanilla. You know you want to be submissive. You think your partner might make a good dominant. You want to help them along. Have them read this section. And in the section, he says, okay, I'd really like you to read the rest of the book. But for right now, just read this section. And, like, one of the first things is know your partner is not insane. Yeah. This is a normal thing.
But on the other side of that, too, and then this is something that I've always believed, even if you are submissive, there's no reason why you should not understand both sides of the coin.
Absolutely.
Because you need to go in to whether it's the lifestyle from your first steps or, you know, you've been in the lifestyle for a while to know what's going on, to understand what is going on from both sides.
And you can set your expectations. I know dominance can do this, and that is what I want. Or I know they can do it, but that's not what I want. If you don't know anything about what a dominant could be, it does become much more difficult to figure out what works for you.
Yes.
And, you know, it's still difficult when it's new and you're trying to, you know, find the right person. But shit, if there's a resource out there that can help you, why the hell not? So, yes, I am very glad we made this the first one for Kinky Book Club. My intention is to kind of put out some questions that are book clubby like into the group, ideally on Saturday, July 1st, and then kind of see where people take it and how the conversation goes.
Right.
This first book club, it's all experiments. I'm having to get comfortable with the idea of doing things where I don't have all the answers of how they should work or know what the outcome is going to be. And do it anyway and go, okay, we'll learn on the fly. That is very difficult for me. I like knowing all the steps I should take and if those are the right steps. But what I have figured out over the past, 3 or 4 years, as I've done the freelance writing thing and we've done the websites, that every time I try and follow the, quote, rules, it doesn't work. And when I follow what feels like works and then adjust as needed, that works way better.
Right.
So I think that's a metaphor for life in general.
Yeah.
And relationships, kinky or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything else? It's kind of, there's not a lot.
No.
Yeah, the motor bunny is waiting for us.
Yes.
I'm going to ride that thing. God, I hope it works well. I hope I'm not disappointed. I hope it's awesome.
We'll find out.
We will find out. We will find out. So,
okay.
Is that it for us?
I think that's it.
Okay. Hey, not bad. Last show, I think it was more bonus than it was show.
Yes, it was.
So, yay for us for actually making this a bonus section.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, I guess we have to, like, let the nice people go about their day.
Let them go about their day. We got to go about ours.
Okay. I guess.
All right.
I know. We're really...
Baby girl.
Yes, Daddy, but I like talking to my cricket friends.
I know.
My cricket friends are the best friends.
They are. They are good crickets.
They're wonderful crickets. They're very patient crickets, because there's a lot I have promised that I have not done yet.
I know. It's taken us a lot longer to get some things, but we're getting there.
We are getting there, just not at the pace I'd like us to get there.
Well,
us to be at the finish line already.
It's like I told you many years ago, baby steps. Sometimes baby steps, you rush too quick. And
I know. You're right, I know, but I don't have to like it. This is the point where we should say bye, huh?
Yeah.
I think
patient and baby girl do not go together. Those are not two words that go together.
And that's not just a baby girl thing. I have met many submissives who do not identify as baby girl who are like, I'm not patient either. So it might be a submissive thing, I don't know.
Maybe, okay.
Maybe. Okay.
All right. We love you.
We love you guys. Bye.